Amen. Hey, happy Friday. It's sunny out. Come on. You gotta love it. But it's not spring yet. It looks like spring, but it's not there yet. You know why? Still wearing socks. The day will come when I will officially announce spring. No socks. Hey, we're happy that there is a ton of visitors here today. If you are a visitor, hey, we're not lying. We would love for you to be a part of this community next year, wouldn't we? How many vote that they should all enroll in Hope College next year? Majority rules. All right. Hey, I love Fridays. I love sunshine. And I love senior witnesses. As you know, second semester every year, we ask six different seniors to bear witness what God has been doing in their lives over the last 4 years here at Hope College. Today we have our third senior witness, Whitney Eskuel from Canton, Michigan, is going to be. You can give Whitney a little love. Whitney is an engineer major. For all you engineers, I know you're there. You're out there. Yeah. Engineer major, Spanish minor. I'm gonna stop. Whitney is well loved here. Let me pray. Pray with us. Lord, thank you for Whitney. Thank you for this good word that you have put in her heart to share with us, this greater congregation today. So Lord, open our ears and our hearts to receive what you want to say to us through your beloved daughter, Whitney. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome, Whitney, one more time.
Wow, good morning. It's nice to see you all here this morning, and I want to give my mom and dad a quick shout out. They drove 2.5 hours this morning, all the way from Canton, Michigan, just to be here. And without your love, support, and long but loving lectures, I just want to say I love you guys, so thank you for being here. And as Paul introduced me, yes, my name is Whitney, and I am finally a senior. Only took me 4 years, but I made it. And as a senior, I realized I wanted to fit everything in that I've always wanted to do, but just never got around to it. And even though I accomplished a lot at Hope, being in Phelps Scholars, research, volunteering in ESL, and studying abroad in Mexico and the Dominican Republic, I was just trying to do everything at once. Join every club, be in every yearbook picture, and just make it to graduation without too much sleep deprivation. And we'll see how that goes. I wanted to do it all. And after all, college is a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I wanted to make the very best of it. And as I looked at my ongoing list of things to do before graduation, I realized that my relationship with God was not where it was supposed to be. And he didn't seem very high on my priority list either. And now, as I was putting God on the back burner, I realized that. And even though I felt I was putting God on the back burner, I knew that developing a relationship with God is a process. It's a process that should be part of your daily life and continues for a lifetime and beyond. And forming a relationship with Christ is not a race, but something that requires faith, prayer, and worship. So freshman year, my priorities were trying to meet new people, fit in, have fun. Yet again, God was low on my list. And even though I came from a strong Christian family where we always look forward to go to church, I began to attend church less frequently and pretty much stopped going altogether because I just had way too many other things on my list that seemed important and they just piled up. Like my academics, my friends, extracurricular activities, and if I made time, sleep. But at this point, I began to stress out. I felt I had too much on my plate, and I had no one to go to because my relationship with God seemed to rewind and weaken instead of moving forward and strengthening. I was in a dark moment, and not necessarily because of a huge tragic event, but because I felt like a lost sheep and that I lost God forever. So even though I study chemical engineering, people don't believe I have a creative side. I don't get that. It's not just technical. But during my free time, I write poetry, and poetry is my tool I use when I have something on my mind or when I want to speak to God. And in one of those moments where I knew God was not number one in my life, and I wanted to talk to God and get my life back on track, I wrote a poem called "The Key to God's Love." And this just describes just how lost I was and how lost I was and how I wanted to get back to God. And I would like to share this poem with you all. Disguise my curious eyes, but do not blind me. Lend me a strong hand and give my heart the key to see what you are all about, the key to bring smiles and eliminate the doubt. I demand my innocence and curse away the pain, despair, the torment. Where is the love that God has sent? I search blindly and end up in a place where I cannot readily find God's grace. The devil is trying hard to kill, steal, and destroy. Why is he picking me in my life to annoy? Why can't the sadness just disappear? Where is my joy? It should be with the Lord, but why is it with those toys, those objects, pictures, images that are bad? The more that I have, the more I get mad, and the more I just end up sad. God, I am seriously lost. I desperately need that key, the key to break the bad habits and set my heart free. I want to help others, but I cannot find myself. I even feel greedy, and this is bad for my health. I hide under the smiles, the happiness, the laughter, and of course I want my life to be that happily ever after, but my life is not a fairy tale. I am the enemy in the mirror, but as I look harder, I see God's love, the pathway that is more clear. I need to clean up my act and cut to the next scene, but first I need to empty my mind and have my soul wiped clean from the dirt, from the hurt, from the darkness within. I need to stop the temptations that cause me to sin because I desire the win so that I can see the grin of God smiling down like the sun to the earth. Devil, listen, this is my turn to succeed, to turn down the greed, to plant God's seed into others like my sisters and brothers, and be a mother to the sick and the poor so I can get rid of their sorrow so they don't feel hurt, despair, sorrow, sadness anymore. God, I don't want to be weak, but I want to be strong so I can flourish in God's love all day long and let his love shine through, so that I can show that his love is for me and each and every single one of you. So even though I wrote this poem years ago, it becomes relevant to me at various points in my life and with my journey with God. And in chapter 15, verse 5 through 7, Jesus says these words: I'm the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. This really spoke to me because I felt I cut myself away from God's vine and I started to wither away and I started to feel sad and useless. But in verse 7, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. See, there's a little poetry in the Bible too. But God will always be there when you return. He will always be there in your darkest moments and when you feel alone. So don't wait another day to return and to run to God. Make that one day in the future today, right now. And even though forming a relationship with God is an ongoing process and takes time, you don't want to wait another moment because life is just so much more vibrant and lively when God is the number one on your list. And I know, I understand everyone has that busy schedule, but there is always time for God, no matter how busy you think you are. And even if it's on the way to work or class or between meals, we always have time for God because God is a part of everything. And it seems like we're the most sad, broken, lost when we leave God and put him on that back burner. So put God as number one on your list. Peace be with you.